Welcome to Media Partners Learning Essentials podcast, delivering engaging content on relevant workplace topics so you can become the best version of yourself at work.
Hi, my name is Pamela and I'm your host. Today we bring you the audio version of He Said, She Said, Part 2. A compilation of three realistic vignettes and commentary designed to challenge your beliefs and perceptions about what is or isn't quid pro quo sexual harassment, third-party sexual harassment, and retaliation. Quid pro quo means literally this for that, and even one instance of it is illegal. Sexual advances or requests for sexual favors can be direct or implied and are made by managers or people in a position to impact an employee's job or career. Each vignette opens with the complainant's description of the events, followed by the alleged harasser's and witnesses' points of view. Woven throughout each story, we'll hear from Helen Wagner, host of the video version of He Said, She Said. Helen will provide commentary based on legal definitions and sexual harassment laws. After hearing conflicting sides of the same story, you will have to decide who to believe when it comes down to he said, she said, she said, she said, or he said, he said. Scenario 1. He said, she said. Our first vignette is set in an advertising agency. Mark has been newly promoted into Cynthia's creative department. Let's hear what he has to say.
When I was promoted to Cynthia's group, I was excited. She's a great manager, I liked her right away. She's very intelligent, doesn't take herself too seriously. And I'll be honest, she's very attractive. And she knows it. She's got this real flirtatious side to her. I didn't know what to make of it at first, so I played along, you know. I was flattered, I enjoyed it. Well, a couple of weeks ago, she suggests that we go out to dinner. Now, we're both single, we both enjoy the same types of things, but I said I didn't think it was such a good idea to be dating the boss. She just laughs and says, you know, as long as we're discreet, that the dating wouldn't interfere with the working relationship at all, that, you know, nobody would know.
A new employee, pressured by his boss to have a romantic relationship. If Mark's account is true, it's a recipe for disaster. But let's hear what happens.
Well, I said that I'd have to think about it, so we didn't go. And the next day I went to her office, and I said I thought about our conversation, and that I'd rather keep the relationship purely professional. She says, "What conversation?" Which I thought meant, you know, not to worry, like it never happened. But ever since then, things have been different. She took away the project I was working on. She said it was beyond my capabilities at this time. You know, the whole week she's given me nothing but grunt work. When I asked her about a new project, she said I'd get one when I was ready. It's like she's punishing me for saying no to her.
Mark is clearly upset with how Cynthia is treating him. But what does Cynthia say about it?
He said what? Oh, this is disturbing. I spent a lot of one-on-one time with him trying to bring him up to speed. But a couple of weeks ago, I had to take him off the project he was on so I could put together a developmental plan for him to give him the foundation he needs to be successful here. I gave the project to Jerry, and Mark did not take it well. I tried to tell him that a developmental plan is not a remedial training, but I could tell he was angry. I think this might be about him getting back at me.
What do you think? Who's telling the truth? Although Mark's story rings true, Cynthia is believable as well. While most complainants bring forth legitimate harassment complaints, sometimes a disgruntled employee will make a false report. So, how do you know whom to believe? Perhaps we should hear from a few coworkers. Mona, another manager, shares her perspective first. Then we'll hear from Jerry, who took over Mark's project.
Mark's a quick study. Cynthia approached me about this promotion, and she seems very happy with him. He's well thought of, very competitive, and seemed like a great fit for her group. From what I hear, it's all working out very well.
Yeah, she came in and she asked me if I could take over because Mark was having trouble getting it finished. And she needed him on another project or something, so I took it. It seemed a little odd to me because Mark was, you know, at the last staff meeting, Mark seemed to be on track with everything. As far as I know, there isn't any other projects pending. But I don't know, they don't tell me everything.
With the additional details Mona and Jerry provided, now what do you think? Is Cynthia creating a hostile work environment for Mark? Technically, no. A hostile work environment is created when a person, a colleague, a vendor, or even a client or customer, subjects an employee to a pattern of repeated, unwelcome, inappropriate behaviors that are sexual in nature and so offensive that the employee's ability to do their work is adversely affected. In this case, that's not what's happening. So what is going on? Both Mona and Jerry suggest that Mark is a valuable employee. According to Mark, Cynthia began to punish him after he said no to her request for a date. Is Cynthia creating a potential quid pro quo sexual harassment situation? Helen provides the answer based on the legal definition of quid pro quo.
Yes. Quid pro quo sexual harassment, literally, this for that sexual harassment, is when a supervisor implies or overtly suggests that there will be a job impact based on admission to or rejection of a sexual advance or sexual favor. In this case, Cynthia may have reacted to Mark's rejection of her sexual advance by taking away a prized project and giving him undesirable work.
Dating at work is rarely a good idea, but between a supervisor and employee, it's always inappropriate and could result in serious consequences. In this case, there was an impact on Mark's job when he rejected Cynthia's request for a date. Clearly a quid pro quo situation. Scenario 2. She said, he said. In this story, Sally works for a biomed research company. She is upset by the way her manager, George, is treating her.
He told me not to worry and that he'd take care of it. He's my boss, so I thought he'd support me. But instead, he pulled me from the team. I know it's an important project. That's why I wanted it. But it doesn't mean I'm going to just go along with whatever a board member wants to do. He wanted to have lunch at a strip club. When I complained to George about it, he yanks me and brings Don in. Why should George punish me when I didn't do anything wrong? Mr. Carrington gives me the creeps. But if I knew I was going to lose the project, I would have kept my mouth shut.
Sally is obviously upset that she lost a high-profile project. She thinks George is punishing her for complaining about Mr. Carrington, an important board member. What do you think? Is this a case of retaliation? Possibly, although it's still unclear as to the exact nature of Sally's complaint. First Don, a coworker, and then George, her boss, share their perspectives.
Yeah, George pulled her off the project a couple weeks ago. Sally complained about Mr. Carrington all the time. She called him Mr. Learington. She never said anything specific, just that he was always staring at her. I figured it was just Sally being Sally. Her life can be one big drama. When I heard about the strip club deal, I assumed she was exaggerating or maybe just being overly sensitive. I feel bad for her, but when George put me on the project, what was I gonna do? Say no?
Yeah, and I know it's a mess. I mean, I actually thought it was going to be a win-win. I thought maybe Sally was just blowing everything all out of proportion, you know? I figured that she'd be relieved at not having to deal with Mr. Carrington anymore, and that way I wouldn't have to worry about offending one of our board members.
According to Dawn, Sally complained about Mr. Carrington all the time. That suggests a pattern of unwelcome sexual conduct. If George believes that Mr. Carrington is creating a hostile work environment for Sally, then as her boss, he is obligated to stop it. A supervisor and a company can be held responsible for not acting on a sexual harassment complaint. If Sally complained to George before, why did he not address it?
You know, she's made comments about Mr. Carrington to me before, but they were always just kind of flippant or even sarcastic, you know? I mean, it never seemed like she was feeling threatened or upset. I mean, it was more like she was just making fun of him for being a dirty old man, you know? But then when she told me about this strip club thing, I guess I was just hoping it was more of the same. But this time she seemed a lot more flustered and upset, so I assured her that she shouldn't have to be put in an uncomfortable position like that, and I told her I'd take care of it. You know, like I said, I figured that she'd be relieved not to have to deal with him anymore.
So what do you think? Did George do the right thing? If Sally believes that George's actions implied that she should put up with this hostile work environment or else, could this be quid pro quo harassment? Let's hear Helen's opinion.
Perhaps, but that's not what happened in this case. It's unlikely that George's actions could be construed that way because he seems to have sincerely wanted to remove her from a difficult situation. However, his decision was a poor one.
George took the easy way out and stopped the harassment, but he inadvertently punished Sally. So what should he have done? As difficult and awkward as the conversation would have been, George should have spoken with Mr. Carrington about establishing a more appropriate working relationship with Sally. He should have told Mr. Carrington that his conduct was inappropriate, and going forward, neither George nor his staff would tolerate that type of behavior. And he should have included human resources in the conversation. Scenario 3. She said, she said. Our final story takes place in a large medical center. Rachel, an RN, is offended by the behaviors of her coworkers. Let's hear what she has to say.
It's completely insulting. The guys come in at break, and the whole environment changes. Before that, these are strong, intelligent women. And then they turn into little mice who laugh at stupid sexist jokes. And this is not boys will be boys. This is some jerk asking Trina if she wants breast implants. And she just smiles. I can't believe they've all been quiet this long.
Now, think about the definition of a hostile work environment and ask yourself these questions. Is there a pattern of offensive behaviors? Is the behavior unwanted? Is there a pattern of repeated behaviors that are pervasive and offensive enough to make it difficult for Rachel to work? In other words, is this a hostile work environment? Helen says it may be.
This may be a hostile work environment. The behavior is certainly offensive to and unwanted by Rachel. It is unclear whether there is a repeated pattern of behavior that is affecting Rachel's work.
Rachel is offended by the way some of the male staff treat her female coworkers, and that her coworkers simply accept it. She found it insulting the way one of the guys spoke to Trina, another nurse, and she was appalled that Trina just smiled. But what is Trina's perspective on it?
They're not bad guys. They're just guys. They're the same guys who will stop in the parking lot on a Friday afternoon and jumpstart your car for you. They don't mean any harm. None of us, besides Rachel, think anything of it.
Clearly, Trina doesn't find the behaviors unwanted or offensive. What about the guys? Do they know their behaviors bother Rachel? Let's hear from Buddy, a nursing assistant who works on the same floor as Trina and Rachel.
Rachel? I don't know all those girls' names, but I don't remember Rachel. What's her beef? We joke around too much? Somebody forget to call her Ms.? Whatever. Nobody's ever said word one. And besides, we're only up there at break, and that ain't work time, that's off time. So I don't get the problem.
Buddy brings up a good point. Why does it matter what conversations he has on break? It matters because break time, lunchtime, and even off-site work parties or other work functions are all considered work under sexual harassment law. But according to Buddy, he doesn't talk with Rachel. And Trina says Rachel doesn't even sit with them.
Would I rather not have to put up with some of these guys? Yeah, but I take a half hour of those guys acting like eighth graders over 5 minutes of Rachel going on and on about how it insults us as women. She's on the other side of the room anyway. I've never seen any of them talk to her even once. She should mind her own business.
What do you think? Rachel overhears the guys but is not the recipient of the conduct. Can she bring a legitimate sexual harassment complaint? According to Helen, the answer is yes. This is a case of bystander sexual harassment, sometimes also called third-party harassment.
This occurs when an employee is not the target of the harassment, but they must work in an atmosphere where such harassment is pervasive.
In this case, even though Rachel is across the room, if she is subjected to a pattern of unwanted sexual conduct that she finds degrading, offensive, and so pervasive that it interferes with her ability to do her job, then she may have a legitimate sexual harassment complaint. It's important to understand that instead of complaining to Trina, Rachel should speak to the guys directly, speak to her manager or human resources. Buddy and the other guys need to learn that their conduct is unacceptable for work, even if they're on a break. So that's it. We hope these stories have provided some insight on inappropriate workplace behaviors, retaliation, third-party harassment, and what constitutes quid pro quo sexual harassment. It's our sincere desire that you're on your way to creating a culture of respect in the workplace. If you enjoyed this podcast and you're interested in the film version, other training resources on sexual harassment, or our Sexual Harassment Employee Handbook, Practical Answers to Tough Questions, go to www.mediapartners.com. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
Media Partners is the leading provider of original, high-quality training films and learning content. With captivating content that engages employees, you can raise awareness and change behavior. For more information about other Media Partners programs, please go to www.mediapartners.com.